Jamaican immigrants Andre and Andreen McDonald seemed like the ultimate power couple. He was a U.S. Air Force Reserve major while she built a successful home healthcare business from the ground up, making them multimillionaires in the process. The couple lives in an exclusive gated community, have a beautiful little girl, and seem as though they are deeply dedicated to each other. However, when Andreen goes missing, all eyes turn to her loving and devoted husband as the couple's dirty laundry comes spilling out for the whole world to see. Hello and welcome to The Dark Side of Love. I'm your host, Bianca Sloan, author of suspense novels about the dark side of love. And this week I'm putting a spotlight on the case I'm calling Love Don't Live Here Anymore. Andre McDonald was born in the tiny town of Port Antonio in the parish of Portland in Jamaica to local businessman Everton Beachy Stout McDonald and Jackie Horn. Andre joined the Air Force when he enrolled in basic officer school in November of 2004. He was also a student at Florida International University in Miami, and at some point while living in Florida, Andre met and married his first wife, though they later got divorced. Andre's star was on the rise in the Air Force as he received positions of increasing responsibility and top assignments, eventually attaining the rank of captain. He was awarded an Air Force Commendation Medal and an Air Force Achievement Medal. He was, in short, the model military man. However, by 2009, 29-year-old Andre was still looking for love, and he found it in the form of 19-year-old Andreen Anderson. Andreen hailed from Portland, the same town as Andre, and as the story goes, Andre came home to attend a funeral, and it was during this time at home that he crossed paths with Andreen. Andreen was the daughter of Paul Anderson and Maureen Smith. Andreen, who came from what she termed in a San Antonio Woman magazine profile from 2017 as, quote, a poor family, was tall, willowy, and ambitious. Someone who, when she set her sights on something, she went after it full tilt. She dreamed of coming to America to find her fortune and determined that the best way to get there was to get an education. She earned a business associate's degree in marketing from Excelsior Community College, Jamaica in 2008 and later a bachelor's degree in finance from Northwest Florida State College. Andreen and Andre became smitten with each other pretty quickly, and according to what her mother Maureen told 48 Hours, her daughter was excited about this new romance with this captain in the U.S. Air Force, which is pretty impressive, and the attraction between them again was instant. Andre convinced Andreen to move to the States with him, and on July 9th, 2009, the couple got married in Florida. So they met in 2009 and married that same year. Soon after, Andre was assigned to San Antonio where he would be a cyber warfare operations officer. Meanwhile, Andreen enrolled at the University of Texas in San Antonio, going on to earn a Bachelor's of Business Administration degree in finance in 2011. With multiple degrees in hand, the ambitious 22-year-old Andreen set her sights on starting her own business, specifically in the home healthcare industry. Andre, being the supportive spouse with the stable income, liquidated his pension and sold his BMW to give his wife the startup money she needed to start the business of her dreams. It was a major gamble, but Andre was confident it would pay off. And pay off it did. Andreen launched Starlight Homes Assisted Living just 1 month after she graduated college. 1 month. I think I was still sleeping 1 month after I graduated college. I was so tired. Andreen, she throws herself into making the business a success. And in a very short amount of time, the business was bringing in buckets of cash. According to a 2017 profile of Andreen in San Antonio Woman magazine, the spark for building the assisted living business was due to her mom's career as a certified nursing assistant and Andre's own grandmother, who had a leg amputated due to an accident. Over time, Andreen grew Starlight Homes to 2 locations, serving 28 patients, and the money just kept coming, turning Andreen and Andre into multimillionaires. The couple moved into one of San Antonio's most exclusive gated communities, took lavish vacations, and overall just enjoyed the fruits of their labor. Eventually, the couple welcomed daughter Elena, who was autistic, And despite those challenges, Elena was the center of her mother's world. Andreen also finds time to give back and is known to be generous with her money, with her time, as she volunteers frequently. She gives speeches to the community and she travels back home to Jamaica on philanthropic trips on a regular basis. Andreen balanced motherhood, marriage, and entrepreneurship with ease. The very definition of the woman who has it all. March 1st, 2019. It's a Friday, and even though the weekend is right around the corner, Andreen keeps to her strict daily routine. She's usually in the gym every day at 5 a.m. for a grueling workout and into the office by 8. Except, Andreen doesn't show up for work. This is weird to her employees because Andreen is incredibly conscientious. If she's going to be late or not planning to come in, she will let her employees know. Concerned, they call the gym and learn that Andreen never even made it into the gym that day. Andre was at the house while police searched it, and he told them that the last time he had seen his wife was the night before. They had gone to see their tax guy, and he admitted that Andreen and he had gotten into an argument about the business. He says he left and went to the gas station, came home. Things were still a little heated, so they decided to spend the night in separate bedrooms. In the morning, Andre says that Andreen was gone, and he assumed that she had gone to the gym like she always did, so he didn't worry about the fact that she wasn't at home. He got Elena up and ready for school before reporting for work at Lackland Air Force Base. So when Andre learns that Andreen is missing, he rushes home. But then he leaves again. Andreen suffers from migraines, and Andre thought, well, maybe she went to the hospital. So he heads there to see if maybe she's checked herself in. Surveillance cameras do show him going to the ER and talking to the front desk, and they tell him, yeah. As a matter of fact, we do have a patient in room 3, last name McDonald. Okay, whew, mystery solved, right? Well, no, the mystery gets a little deeper because Andre then does something really strange. Completely nonsensical. Instead of rushing to room 3 to see his wife, find out what happened, oh my God, are you okay? Instead, he gets back in his car and he goes home. Curious. So he gets back home and he tells the deputy on site that, hey, my wife is at the hospital, everything's fine. Now, unlike Andre, the deputy has to check this out and he calls the hospital and they tell him why, yes, there is a patient by the name of McDonald here, but it is not the McDonald that you're looking for. Investigators give Andre some much-deserved side eye, like, what's up? Like, you told us your wife was a patient at the hospital and she's not. What's happening? What's going on here? And Andre says, well, the reason why I didn't actually check to see if that was my wife in the hospital room was because I didn't have my phone with me and I wanted to call my mother-in-law and let her know that, hey, Andreen is here. She's at the hospital. Everything's fine. What? Yeah, I will have that sounds all kinds of crazy for 500, please. And speaking of things that sound crazy and suspicious, investigators, they have been searching the house. And in addition to Andreen's keys, purse, and car being there, they find blood. They find blood on one wall. They find blood and hair on a light switch. And something even more concerning, in the backyard, this beautifully, professionally landscaped backyard, the cops find a burn pile. I mean, it's not autumn. They're not burning leaves back there. Like, why is there a burn pile in the backyard? So this is all kinds of suspicious. So investigators are not able to find Andreen's cell phone. And when they run a check on her credit cards and passport to see if maybe she's used them, they come up empty. By now, the hairs are standing up on the back of everyone's neck because whatever is going on here, it's not good. And it's at this point that Andre zips his lip and doesn't say another word. Cops have no choice but to turn their full attention onto Andre and put him under surveillance. And he's doing all kinds of interesting things, like visiting a gun shop where he buys a 9mm and some ammunition. Now, pardon the expression, but this triggers concern that maybe Andre is planning to hurt himself. So cops move in and take him down, turning him over to the military for a complete evaluation of his mental state. So while the military conducts its evaluation, cops do some more digging. First, they learn that the McDonald marriage was far from picture perfect. For one, there is a history dating back to at least 2016 of the cops visiting the home on domestic disturbance calls. During one instance, Andreen called the police because she and Andre got into an argument and he refused to leave the house. Andreen wound up leaving, but she came back. Later, Andre actually filed for divorce, but the couple reconciled. In May of 2017, Andreen called the police again following an argument about the business, and she told the cops that she had seen texts from another woman on her husband's phone. According to what Officer Michael McCampbell wrote in his report about the incident, quote, "She told me it got a little heated and he left," meaning Andre, "the location. She told me they pushed each other and that's all that happened." The couple's friend, Andrew Russell, shared with 48 Hours that in 2018, he witnessed the couple physically fighting on their kitchen floor, but says the next day they laughed it off as though nothing was wrong. Personally, though, it worried him, and he said, quote, "I thought the situation had become toxic." As he also told 48 Hours, he even had text messages from Andreen saying, quote, "Someone is going to snap." Then there's the matter of the texts from the night before Andreen's disappearance that Andre neglected to mention. So apparently, as I said before, they had gone to the tax preparer's office, and while they were there, Andre learned that Andreen had started a separate business under her name only. And he was pretty ticked about the fact that his wife had done this, and they argued about it over text while he was at the gas station. They also argued about an old boyfriend of Andreen's, a man by the name of Aubin Hall. Do you notice how pretty much everybody in here has a name that begins with the letter A? Just curious little tidbit. But at any rate, Aubin was a businessman back in Jamaica, and it turns out everything old was new again because according to what Andreen's friend Mandy Hall told 48 Hours, Andreen and Aubin reignited the relationship back in 2017 during one of Andreen's many trips back home to Jamaica. As Mandy told 48 Hours, quote, "Aubin has always been that first love. It wasn't something Andreen got over emotionally." She even went so far as to get a mysterious tattoo featuring Aubin's birthday on her wrist, something Mandy told 48 Hours that Andreen admitted was maybe not the smartest thing to do. No, it was not. Eventually, Andre cracked the code behind the mystery tattoo, and he told her he would drag her through divorce court unless she covered up the tattoos, cut off all contact with Aubin, and put the kibosh on any more solo trips to Jamaica. Mandy told 48 Hours that Andreen complied, covering up the tattoos and agreeing to stop communication with Aubin. Though, as Mandy indicated, that may have been a bit of a strategic move on Andreen's part because, quote, she, meaning Andreen, didn't want to lose half of everything she had worked for, meaning the business. And the business, Starlight Homes, is a major point of contention between the couple. They both feel intense ownership of the business. Andre, for his part, feels like he put up the seed money, he's half owner, so he's entitled to some rights. While Andreen, she texted him another time saying, quote, "Starlight Homes is my idea, my dream, and would not have happened without my drive." So it's kind of like a tug of war, this business between the two of them. But all of this is going down over text the night before Andreen disappeared. At one point during these, I'm sure, fast and furious texts between them, Andreen threatened to divorce Andre, and his response was, quote, "I don't care if you get a divorce. You brought Aubin into our life." In addition to all of the very ugly things that cops learn about the McDonald marriage, things get even uglier when they uncover a receipt from Lowe's dated the day after Andreen disappeared. During Andre's shopping trip, instead of, like, I don't know, buying a washer or whatever you get at Lowe's, he bought an axe, a hatchet, a shovel, gas cans, and trash bags. It don't sound good. Surveillance footage confirmed that Andre bought all of these things during the time printed on the receipt. A further search at the house turns up a hammer and a pair of jeans in the trash. There's blood on the jeans and blood and Andreen's DNA on the hammer, leading cops to believe this was likely the murder weapon. It is crystal clear that Andreen McDonald is not coming home. Despite knowing this, cops don't have a body, and without a body, there is not a whole lot that they can do. The Air Force finishes up its evaluation of Andre on March 3rd, 2019. That's 2 days after Andreen's disappearance. The cops waste no time arresting him for evidence tampering because he had ripped up the receipt from Lowe's. Once again, Andre goes quiet, refusing to cooperate with authorities to provide any kind of clues as to where Andreen's body is. As Sheriff Javier Salazar told 48 Hours, quote, Andre's face told us, there's no way in hell we were going to break him and make him tell us what had happened. And so as the months tick by, there is no sign of Andreen. It is not until July 11th, 2019, 133 days after she went missing, does the case crack wide open. The Bexar County Sheriff's Department received a call that human remains had been found at a ranch about 6 miles from the McDonald house. They were positively identified as belonging to Andreen. Andreen McDonald was 29 years old. 2 days later, Andre is arrested and charged with murder. He pleads not guilty. And that's about the only thing that Andre has to say about the case against him. He will not tell investigators what happened between Andreen that led to her being killed, so there are a lot of questions hanging over the investigation as everyone struggles to understand why. Andre is eventually put on house arrest in April of 2021, and his trial is delayed several times because of COVID. His trial is finally set, and now while the prosecution called 33 witnesses over 6 days of testimony, the defense puts only one guy in the witness box, and he is ready to tell the truth, according to Andre. So Andre says on the stand that the night before Andreen disappeared, that he found out that she had started this new business without him, and he testified that it made him feel that, quote, basically that meant to me pretty much that she was robbing me. Bexar County Assistant District Attorney Stephen Spear takes it even further, telling 48 Hours that, quote, I believe it was largely because he felt emasculated. She was such a rising star, had control of these businesses, and I think he was jealous of that. They argue. He goes to the gas station. They're rage texting each other. He comes home and he says, you know what? Let's pull the plug on this and get a divorce. You take half the business, I'll take the other half, and we'll just call it a day. Andre testifies that Andreen went off the rails, that she, quote, became extremely irate at the thought of splitting the business, and charges into the room to confront me. He goes on to say that she got up in his face and spit on him, and that at that point, he grabbed her and that they literally butted heads and that she started bleeding somewhere on her face, and that when she went to look in the bathroom mirror and saw that she was bleeding, this ignited her all over again, and she charged at him one more time. Andre says, quote, when she comes, she's like throwing like some punches, so I'm trying to like duck down to and like keep my head, my face from getting hit with the blows. I remember like grabbing her and like tripping her. And then like she falls. And that's when I kicked her twice. The second kick, I think I heard like some type of wheezing. And then also like in the background, I could hear like some footsteps. This was Andre and Andreen's daughter, Elena, coming in. And Andre says he put her back to bed. And at that point, he came back a half hour later and Andreen was dead. Andre went on to testify, quote, I became like pretty frantic at that point because, you know, she's dead on the floor. I never thought about calling anybody to revive a dead person. My purpose at that point was simply to get her out of the house so that my 7-year-old daughter wouldn't see her mother laying on the floor dead. Andre says he then left his 7-year-old daughter asleep in the house and took his wife's body to a nearby field and dumped it. He took off her clothes, intent on burning them in order to destroy the evidence, which is what accounted for the burn patch in the backyard. There was still the matter of the hammer with the blood on it, which doesn't match up with any of what Andre is saying. Now, Andre says that he used the hammer after Andrine was already dead, and that he said that he drove back to the field with the hammer and that can of gasoline that he bought at Lowe's, and he was intent on hitting her with that hammer because he was still so angry with her, still in a rage about everything, testifying that, quote, my plan was to hit that person that caused this whole circumstance. He says he went back, poured the gasoline on her, lit the match, set Andrine's body on fire. He went on to say that when the fire stopped, he took that hammer and attacked the corpse, hitting her in the face and the neck for good measure, delivered another blow as he was walking away, he claims because he was still angry. So, I am not a forensic specialist by any stretch of anybody's imagination, including my very active imagination. But the first thing that strikes me, again, no pun intended, about this, let's call it retelling of events, the truth according to Andre, is that there's blood on the hammer. And if Andre is striking her with this hammer after she's already dead and he set her on fire, how did the blood get on the hammer? Can you make that make sense? I can't make that make sense. I think we know how the blood get on the hammer, but you didn't hear that from me. Andre's defense team tries to paint the whole thing as self-defense, that Andrine was an incredibly physically strong woman, able to bench press 300 pounds, that Andre was afraid of her and therefore was trying to protect himself from his wife. Among other revelations from Andre's testimony were why he didn't participate in the search for his wife. Well, he says, quote, why would I make any efforts if I already know she's dead? I'm not going to go out in the field and pretend and do some charade or something and pretend going out doing fake searches with people and passing out flyers. Why would I do any of that? That's a screw up on top of what already happened. I mean, at least he's honest. At least he's telling, at least he's being honest about that. And as to why he waited 4 years before confessing, well, he's got an answer for that, too. He has an answer for everything. He testified, quote, when I got arrested for the case, I decided at that point I was just going to dig in and wait until I got to court because I didn't really, like, trust the police or maybe the DA's office trying to twist words against me or try to manipulate that stuff. I decided my best bet was to wait until I go to court and then I'll tell the truth. Again, the truth. According to Andre. Okay, so the defense rests, the jury gets the case, and they are deadlocked. Nobody bought the whole self-defense nonsense, and they determined that the evidence showed that he was guilty of something. They just couldn't decide what. Was it that he killed her intentionally or accidentally, which would be manslaughter? In the end, they settled on manslaughter, and Andre was eventually sentenced to the maximum sentence of 20 years. The verdict, it shook San Antonio as a lot of people felt that he had gotten away with murder. Andrine's mother and sister Cindy are raising Andrine and Andre's daughter Elena. Okay, so in a bizarre, and I mean really bizarre, twist, Andre's father, Everton, also known as Beachy Stout, is currently in 2024 on trial in a murder-for-hire case in Jamaica regarding the death of his second wife, Tanya Hamilton McDonald. Back in July of 2020, she was found in her car with her throat slashed, her body partially burnt after her car was set on fire. One of the participants in the murder, a guy by the name of Denvalin Bubla Minot, who is currently serving 19 years for his part in the murder, he says he was the one who lured Tanya to the secluded location where the actual hitman, for lack of a better word, actually carried out the hit. And Dindelin told detectives that Beachy Stout, that's Andre's father, was very clear about how his wife should be killed, saying, quote, he didn't want Mrs. McDonald to be shot, but said that she was to be stabbed up and her body burnt. Oh, but wait, wait, there's more. Because in addition to awaiting trial in 2024 for his part in his second wife's murder, Beachy Stout has also been hit with a murder charge for the death of his first wife.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, you heard that right. You cannot make this stuff up. Even if you wanted to make it up, it would sound ridiculous. But at any rate, Beachy Stout's first wife, Merlene, was shot in the driveway of her Bound Brook, Port Antonio, Portland home in May 2009. So Beachy Stout is scheduled to head to court on January 25th of 2024 for a plea and case management hearing. My goodness. The son is convicted of murdering his wife and the father has been charged with murdering his two wives. I cannot even. Wow. I guess murder really does run in some families. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Dark Side of Love. I am your host, Bianca Sloan, and show your love for The Dark Side of Love by visiting thedarksideoflove.com for show notes and transcripts. While you're there, sign up for my newsletter to be notified about new episodes. And you can also find a link to my Patreon page where you can access bonus material and other fun stuff. Learn more about my suspense novels about The Dark Side of Love by visiting biancasloan.com. Thanks for hanging out with me and join me next time for another tale of love gone wrong. I'll see you on the dark side.